this is a message. What do you call a man with only... oh, wait, forgot the joke. Never mind. All right. Welcome. Good afternoon to everyone. Opening question. How are your hearts right now? Like after...
Pretty open.
Okay, good answer. I like it. So open hearts. Let's come to this with open hearts then, yes? So when it comes down to it, I mean, if you're looking around at this point, we are surrounded by people. Like, there's no doubt about it. We surround ourselves with people throughout the entire duration of our lives, and it's pretty important we pick good people. It's pretty prevalent that everyone in here is a good person, or they're always trying to work towards being good people. But I mean, truthfully, this is the day-by-day talk. It's not like the Antioch retreat by Antioch retreat. And it's kind of hard to be good people all the time, yeah?
Yeah.
You can totally not, because we're not all good people all the time. It's easy to make good decisions, like when we're here on this retreat, and to do what's best for ourselves and for everyone around us. But like I said, it's the day-by-day talk. So what do you do day-by-day? You know, things to keep in mind throughout the talk. Like, what are you doing with your time? Are you spending it wisely? Are you spending it with the right people? So who do you look up to? Like, this is like free response. I want to hear who you guys look up to right now. Who do you look up to?
God.
All right, like candidates, guys, who do you look up to in your lives? Like, who is someone you want to be like?
Tim!
Yeah!
Okay. What else?
Grandma.
What else, guys?
My mom.
There's a lot of influential people you pass in your lives. Like, think how many people, like, you're in here with a lot of people right now, but think how many people you pass on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, people you don't even know sometimes. Personally, I look up to my dad. Like, he is one of the coolest people I know. Like, my dad's the parent, but I am the proud parent for my dad. Like, you know those parents, they whip out, they got the pictures of their kid. I don't have any pictures of my dad in my wallet. Sorry to bum anyone out. But I really am so proud of my dad. He is someone I look up to. You know those prompts like you got in elementary school when they're like, oh, you got to write about someone who's important to you in your life? I think I wrote maybe about 10 consistently about my dad. Got to the point where I just kind of gave him a folder, like as a present for his birthday one time, because I had so many. And my teacher was like, she probably doesn't have anyone else. So I'm the proud parent of my dad. He's got tons of plaques on his wall. He's a police officer. He works early nights. Late nights, early mornings, the whole gist of it. And I'm in a rigorous program. I'm in IB, and I constantly look up to my peers. We were in class last day before spring break. We were doing a presentation on nuclear energy. And someone was like, yeah, but it only works with uranium like 235. And I'm like, I didn't know that existed until now. They're constantly spewing out like amazingly intellectual things. Like, people never fail to impress me all the time. So these are the people I follow and I look up to in my life. You guys shared with me some people you follow. It's some people in your family, and it's the people around you who make good decisions. It's not essentially hard to follow someone now, is it? I mean, we've got social media for the most part. You see something someone likes, or you see someone that you like, and you follow them, like, in a very, like, tedious sense. So you've got some ideals and you follow them. So in this figurative sense, it's very easy just to tap that like button. What do you do in life? Like, do you just see someone and you're like, hey buddy, boom, follow them. It's she's probably like, oh geez, she's like, you know, I'm gonna follow you all weekend. It's gonna be really weird. But what about like in a non like physical sense? Gonna reference the Bible for this one. You heard about it earlier, this love letter. But this is like the most literal love letter. It's coming from Matthew chapter 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the customs post. He said to him, follow me, and he got up and followed. That's it. It's like, I think this is probably one of the shortest Bible verses, like story-wise, and like when you read on from this, it doesn't continue with the story. It like goes on to talk about other stuff he's doing. So this happened then and there, and it stopped. It wasn't like I'm gonna follow you, but you gotta do this, or but you can't do this anymore. It's just, you just follow them in this moment. And I think there's just something like just beautiful and simplistic just about it. Because sometimes it's hard to follow people when you gotta change yourself, or you gotta do something maybe you don't want to. with Jesus, it's like, you don't have to. You just got to follow him right then and there. All right, so we're getting into the good stuff. We know what Jesus wants us. And I mean, you're already here on this weekend. So like, if you need this infinite proof, like you are here in this moment. And that's this tangible proof that God desires you so much in this exact moment. And things don't happen in your life without God. He touches every aspect of your existence and, more amazingly, everything around it. We live life on a daily basis, and all it encompasses is it's a wicked, awesome gift. I'm a lady, I like statistics a whole bunch. I'm a lady of statistics. Like, it's weird. There's this very weird math or line between math and statistics. Statistics, love it. So think about this. I'll put this into perspective. 365 days a year, but it's day by day, so let's break it down a little bit. 24 hours in a day, 60 minutes in an hour, 3,600 seconds in that hour. What are you doing with your time? Like, really think about it. What are you doing? Not like the time you're spending with people, but when you're with yourself and you get to think, what are you doing with that? A neo-Freudian once coined the phrase, you are essentially your true you when no one is with you. Like I said, nothing really happens without God's understanding of what is happening in your life first. This, of course, includes your sex life and your sexuality. I saw some heads turn at that. They were like, oh, well, now I'm listening, okay. She said, sex. Oh, here we go. I'm that person for the weekend. I get to tell you about that. So there's two different things. We'll break it down. Sexuality, this is who you are as a person. This is how you connect with the people around you. Boy, girl, this is how you're getting to know people. Sex is the act between a married man and a married woman. Key point, married. You're probably like, whoa, Summer, you're already breaking out the married man and married woman. This is a liberal culture. Okay, well, hold on now. We haven't completely moved past this concept in our culture yet. And if you do think we have, let me tell you how we really exactly haven't moved past this yet. In a culture of safe sex before marriage, 9 million people are still catching STDs a year. Let me put 9 million people in the perspective for you real quick. We're all going skydiving, all right? Let's see. So roughly 32 million people in the whole entire United States, 9 million of them have STDs. You do a little bit of math terms, some division, you get a 0.28. Round it up to 0.30, 30% of your parachute's not going to open when you go skydiving today. Are you going to go skydiving? Yeah. Oh, God, really? Whoa, whoa. Someone said yes. I didn't hear a response at first, and I was like, yes? okay, so, yeah. Probably not going to go skydiving if 30% chance your chute's not going to open. I mean, if you do, that's pretty daring. And the second time you want to go skydiving with that statistic, it doubles. That's a 60% chance your chute's not going to open. Mm-hmm. So you're probably, okay, at this point, so why is there sex? A, to procreate. You're carrying on God's creation. And B, to consummate this marriage, this beautiful thing that's happening between a man and woman. All right, so I'm no dating expert. Trust me on this one, ladies and gentlemen. But I've had my share of struggles. And when I'm dating someone, I am not trying to, A, procreate with them. We're not like at the movies, I'm like, hey, bud. And he's like, what? And I'm like, pass the popcorn. Also want to procreate? He's like, whoa, all right? That's not what we're going for. So, B, I'm not married to them. That's why I'm dating them, you know? So clearly those two check off the list. So to answer this original question, like, why is there sex? Because it's between a married man and married woman. So in the dating stage, is there a need for this? In the shortest possible way, no. When you date someone, like carrying on with this, when you date someone, you're called to love them authentically. I won't like ask, because I know we talked about the agape meal earlier, but if like you've dated someone in your life, think about how much you've loved them before, like carrying on with what you learned earlier. How have you loved them? Dating does not require you to check off boxes of things you're required to do with someone. You are called to be brave. You're called to be bold, authentic, and just strong in this will with this person who you say you're in love with. There's this quote I just absolutely love. It's by Pope Francis. It says, I ask you, instead to be revolutionaries, to swim against the tide. Yes, I am asking you to rebel against the culture that sees everything as temporary and ultimately believes that you are incapable of responsibility and that you are incapable of true love. Pope Francis, sorry to say, but you are on to something with this true love thing. I mean, going back to what we learned earlier, are we really encompassing this true love in our lives at this point? One of the most impressive things I think a human being can do is have the ability to make educated decisions. As someone who just came from testing for 5 hours with my SAT this morning, my brain's a little fried, but I think I could still make an educated decision at this point. Maybe. People make choices all the time. Like, from where are you gonna sit down? Are you gonna stand up? Am I gonna eat? What am I gonna eat? If you really break it down, like, there's a lot of choices you make in a daily basis. But how often do we abuse the fact that we get to make these choices? We spoke about agape love earlier, and this agape, the opposite of this is lust. We saw this with King David and Uriah, right? He sent that letter, it was just so full of lust. There was no love in that situation. So friends, there are differences between I love yous and I love yous. I don't know if you caught the difference there. Not really. But the words we swap out for love, sometimes we swap out to fill these voids in our lives. I like to call it void dating. That's the coin, or the term we'll coin this evening. There's a difference between the I love you and the I want you, or the I love you and I love you because I can't really love myself in this moment, or I love you because no one's at home to love me right now. We swap out these words and it almost becomes this lustful relationship because we can't have that in our lives. Soon after, we kind of hit this trend of void dating, which is looking for things that are going to fill our voids with this authentic love. We void date and we choose inauthentic love. That love is a lie and a facade we give to ourselves, but not only to ourselves, but more importantly to the person you're dating. In the case that you're choosing between authentic love and this facade, a fabricated lie, you're ultimately, it's not true love. This is a fabricated relationship you've put yourself in. In today's society, how often is this I love you thrown around? Taken lightly, dare I say, an authentic love you rarely exists. Like, how often do you really see that? These just I love yous, they've become a lie. I mean, it kind of sounds harsh, but it's true. And, you know, to my ladies out there, this, you're not checking out boxes. This love should not be leading you to the confessional line, all right? And gentlemen, you are called as leaders to lead these ladies away from any kind of sin. You guys are the leaders in the relationship. You guys are the leaders, and it's your task to guide both yourself and your loved ones to heaven. Not only like your significant other that you're dating, but your family, like your authentic loved ones, the people you're trying to love. It's your goal to get them to heaven. I've heard it said before that the day when you're in heaven, or the day, like personally when I'm in heaven, will simultaneously be the best and worst day if the person I love the most is not gonna be there with me. Like, that would really suck. Like, I'd be with Jesus and I'd be like dancing, I'm sure. But if the person I love so much that I'm telling I love them, if they're not there, I'm gonna be devastated. So if you're in this place, clearly it's not your time to this, like it's not your time to be called to date right now. So you take a step back and take a breath, ladies and gentlemen. So with this said, we know dating is good, but what is this big picture? We are called so often in different directions. You know, there's marriage. There's single life. There's religious vocations. You're praying for these things, no matter what the path. And it's increasingly more important in this culture that you do begin praying for these things, because everyone's called for different stuff. And sometimes, like, it's kind of hard to follow your own will, or God's will. The model for this love, we just saw in the Passion, guys. This model is Jesus. I mean, think about what you felt when you were watching that. Every part of it, not just the really hard parts to watch, but this complete love that you saw at some point, like in his eyes, you could just tell. The model for this love is Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. It is this model that we saw during the Passion that is so important that we are portraying and letting everyone else feel this through us. to love someone authentically is not only to do what's best for them, but it's to do what's best for them before yourselves. It's the selfless love. But you're ultimately leading them to Jesus. Leading someone to Jesus is not done by asking them to do stuff they're not comfortable with, or passing them a blunt while you're sitting around a fire, guys. This expands to all regions, all right? This, like, when you just love someone authentically, you are ultimately steering them. You are guiding them like the shepherd in the right direction. Leading someone to heaven is steering them from drugs, poor relationships, and into a better one with Jesus. And guys, I so want you to do what's best for you and for all of those around you. This relationship also includes your family. I mentioned my dad at the beginning, and I followed through with, like, dating. We talked about dating and stuff like that. What about your family lives? Like, how is it right now? Just to take a moment and just think about it. Afterwards, you guys will have a chance to reflect on, like, how you are with your families and stuff like that. I remember my candidate retreat, I really didn't put too much thought into it. So I was like, oh boy, crazy sixth grader summer, you know? I focused on that, and I was like, how am I with guys? Not so much the guys in my family. This is a super important thing. I was looking at my calendar the other day. I always get a calendar for Christmas every year. I'm weird, and it's like my favorite thing I get. Because I'm like, I could use a calendar. I remember one year I didn't get it, and I just didn't know what to do. I was like, oh, whoa, I don't know what day it is, because I didn't get it. So I was looking at my calendar, and I am a junior now. So roughly a year from now, I will be a senior, and furthermore, I'll be moving out of the house. I'm looking at pretty much out-of-state colleges, so I'm not going to live here anymore. I won't get to wake up and see my family on a daily basis. I've never moved before. I mean, tons of people move, and it always looks fun. I kind of want to move as a kid. So I'm sure college is going to be quite the adventure, like, when I finally get to move. I do look forward to it in these adventures. But point being, I've got a year left with my family right now, and I can't say, like, I'm the perfect kid. Like, I know I slip up. I mess up. We all do. But it's like one of those things, like, I gotta make it a good year. Like, the year starts when my senior year starts. Or, yeah, you know, heck, it even starts now. Just being this good person to my family. Let's see. You guys, mostly freshmen, some eighth graders, you guys have got roughly 3 years. So your 3 years starts now. You've got a little bit longer than I do. But it's almost like this lasting impression you get to leave with them. Because, I mean, after college, you're not really gonna live with them anymore. Like, you'll move on and stuff like that. But still, this is like your last time with your family. These are the people you've woken up with, you've lived with for this entire duration of your life so far. So the day, like, you wake up and you're out with them, it'll probably be weird and exciting, but I'm sure you guys will still miss each other, like, all the time. But, you know, question point, like, are you guys being good sons and daughters at this point? Are you acting how you should? Are you doing what you can to help? I have a stay-at-home mom, and so, like, this what can I do to help you is always, like, on the table. Totally forget sometimes, but truthfully, it's something I gotta work on. I'm sure everyone's here has got something they can work on as well. So like I said, after talk, you guys will have time to reflect on stuff. I was on the phone with a friend a couple days. I had this thing where texting's great, but, like, if you call someone, I think it's better. And maybe that's a challenge to you guys. Like, go ahead and call someone, like, after this weekend. Tell them about it. Tell them about something else. I don't know. A, faster than texting. Maybe I'm just a slow texter. Maybe that's what it is. But calling someone, you get to hear their voice. It's, like, super exciting. Anyway, so I was on the phone with a friend. I wrote it down because, like, when they told it to me, I was like, holy cow, this is like a wake-up call. I need to hear this. So I was on the phone, and he said, Summer, I don't think you know how much I want you to be a saint with me on the stained glass windows. Oh, that is exactly what happened when I was on the phone with my friend. It was this wake-up call. Like, where am I heading? Am I heading somewhere that is going to end up on a stained glass window? We, at this point, guys, everyone here, you've heard it, you are so called to be saints. And it's one of the most amazing things. You know, sometimes people have said it, and they're like, you know, in today's culture, it's so hard to become a saint because everything's already been done. But in fact, this culture, it's kind of going downhill. And there's so much you can do to be a saint at this point. It's really crazy. And guys, I extend the invitation. I want you guys to be a saint with me on these stained glass windows too. Like, that would be a pretty rockin' church, right? Like, selfies of everyone in here on a stained glass window.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. Anyway. I feel like there's gonna be that one person that's like, yeah, the dog filter selfie. And it's not everyone's gonna be like, oh, yeah, see? It's like a stained glass window with someone's a dog stuff. You'd be like, great. They'll walk in, they're like, I love that saint. They are the saint of animals, dogs. Yeah, there you go. That'd make most sense. But yeah, guys, you're called to be saints on these stained glass windows. You guys will be in the church later, like, check them out. Like, look with them. Look at these saints. Invest them. You guys are being confirmed. You guys have saints. Or if you don't have one yet, go look on the window and find one. It's a good place to start. Look at them. You are called to be like them. It's not someone you're writing down. You're like, yeah, they're my confirmation saint. Or, yeah, they're okay. I like them. These, Jesus our model, but these saints, they're like us. They weren't Jesus. I mean, perfect guy. These saints weren't perfect. So we've even got a better model to follow at this point. So there's a difference though between like saying you're gonna be a saint now and being a saint after the retreat. It's gonna get really hard. Trust me. You're having a great time now, but sometimes like it almost kinda hits you really hard. Like that Monday morning you wake up. I mean, it's spring break now, so maybe it'll hit you like when you get back to school. You're gonna walk into school and be like, Jesus, hi. Whoa, it's gonna sink sometimes really fast. Like sometimes like mine is sung like the Monday after. I'm like, wait, no, don't leave. I'm like trying to grab it back. But sometimes it just leaves. It gets hard to be a saint every day. It's like one of those things you gotta work on. So I heard this said, muscles are virtues of the soul. So how many people in here work out? You're not raising your hands. All right, if you're not raising your hand, it's okay, because you might rip your shirt if you like raise your hand. I understand. maybe I'll just, So these, we know virtues are muscles of the soul. And anyone who works out or wants to start working out, if you want muscles, you gotta build them up over time. It's not go to the gym once and be like, I'm ripped, and you head home. And you're good for the rest of your life. I really wish it was like that, trust me. So you go to the gym, you gotta work out, but like if you're not working out these muscles, you kind of get limp and soft. So like how, like do you want muscles? Like in this sense, you have to like work out these virtues on a daily basis. And these virtues are a great way to pave the path to sainthood in your lives. In the church, we've got like 7 main ones. And if you look it up, there's like a whole bunch more. I once got a card from someone that had all the tons of virtues written out on it. I was like, wow, that must take a lot of time. So these virtues are temperance, humility, charity, kindness, patience, diligence, and chastity. All these important things are easy to practice on a daily basis and quite simple like when you break them down in their purest form. There are 7 of them. I mean, heck, I've done it to the point where I've practiced like once a day and tried to see how it goes, and it makes a difference. You think of it, you do something, you're like, well, is this really going to be like humility? And you're like, probably not. So then, you know, you make better decisions because of these things. I highly recommend looking into each one and practicing one on a daily basis. And there are, like I said, others that extend beyond these 7. May I suggest zeal? I do like that one as well. But coming towards the end, here's my last little bit for you guys. I mean, we kind of talked about a lot. You've heard this. You got to commit to change. When you're going to look at these papers in a bit. And when you think about it, you guys, you really got to make this effort to do something, like, you know, better and be these saints that you're called to be. Maybe you're going to, it's Lent as well. So if you, this is also a good time to start practicing or adding things. So maybe it's to stop saying this, I love you, until you mean it to someone. Because up until then, it's only demeaning to you and that person. Maybe it's to pray more. Maybe it's to stop watching pornography. Maybe it's to invest in a good relationship. Maybe it's to break up with someone that's, you're really leading them to a bad place, or they're leading you to a bad place. Whatever it's going to be, you have to make the choice to do it, and you need to involve God in that process. It's just simple, like, help me change. God, how can I change? So think of the passion you just watched. Where is Christ coming in all of this? Is he in the picture at all? Like when you're making these decisions right now? These are important decisions. You're not only dealing with yourself, you're dealing with other people. So make sure God's a point in this. We're all coming up on this retreat, like I said, in Lent. So where is God calling your heart? And you know, we talked about Matthew earlier. It's just the simple yes, no strings attached. So say yes during Lent. So really at this point, the choice to follow is yours. Be a Matthew in a world of yeses and nos with strings attached. A simple, will you follow me every day? And Jesus will say, I will bring your one storming soul back to life. And when he asks, what will your answer be? Yes. Oh, it kind of got quiet. I need like an enthusiastic yes. Like, what are you going to say? Yes. Yes.